This message doesn't go that long, probably only about 45 minutes. Yeah. No, it's a short message. A short, encouraging message, all right? It's called Building Walls or Building Bridges. You've heard that, hey? David Cloud talks a lot about it. They're building bridges to the apostates. We're not supposed to build bridges to the apostates. We're supposed to build walls to stop the apostates, to stop us going across to them and to stop them getting to us. But anyhow, if you open your Bibles, please, to Nehemiah, book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, of course. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. Doesn't sound like much, there's a fair bit of reading there. But Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 1 to 4 says, "The words of Nehemiah, the sons of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chisleu, in the 12th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah." They came from Judah, came from Jerusalem back to Babylon where he was. "And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem." Verse 3, "And they said unto me, the remnant that are left in the captivity there in the province," back in Jerusalem, "are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." And verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven." Let's ask the Lord to help us tonight as we think about Nehemiah, certain things about Nehemiah. We're not going to read the whole book of Nehemiah, it's too much, but I want to point out some things about Nehemiah tonight, and I want the Lord to speak to us through what Nehemiah did, all right? So, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look into your word, and we thank you, Lord, that this record about Nehemiah is scripture, Lord. It's scripture. It's been recorded in history for our admonition and our teaching, Lord. And we pray tonight as we consider some of the things that we've just read, we pray, Lord, that you might help us, Lord, to be like Nehemiah and to stand strong, Lord, in the face of much opposition. In Jesus' name, amen. So Nehemiah is an example of a wall builder. A study of the book of Nehemiah is always encouraging to any of us who, like Nehemiah, have a sincere desire to be faithful to God in these perilous last days of prophesied apostasy. When the defensive walls of many once conservative churches are being broken down and the gates burned to cinders. With the time we've got tonight, we're not going to be able to read much of the book of Nehemiah. But let's just observe a few things about the life, ministry, attitudes and actions of this faithful servant of the Lord. You can note these scriptures down if you want to, because I'm going to be talking about them, but don't worry about trying to read them all right? Because we're going to go through quite a bit, cover a lot of ground in the scriptures. Anyway, I'm going to post it on the website, and if you want to go back and check what scriptures we were talking about. But you know, just reading the book of Nehemiah is great encouragement. If you understand the battle that's going on today, Nehemiah is an example for us. The walls were broken down. We're going to build it up and protect ourselves. The enemy came straight away. And hey, when they couldn't beat us with violence, they tried to become friends. They became, "We want to have friendship with you, you see. Be careful, be careful." Okay, so with the time we've got tonight, we're not going to be able to read it, all of the book of Nehemiah. But let's just observe a few things about the life, ministry, attitudes and actions of this faithful servant of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 1 verses 3 to 4 reveals that Nehemiah had a genuine concern for the welfare of God's people. That's what those verses reveal. Verse 4 to 10 show that Nehemiah was willing to recognize not just the sins of the people, but his own as well. In verse 11, Nehemiah recognized his complete dependence upon God, not upon people and not upon himself. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, Nehemiah was obedient to take action and carry out God's will, despite adverse consequences. Verses 5 to 10 show that he experienced immediate blessing, but that blessing had fierce opposition associated with it. In verses 17 and 18, it is revealed that Nehemiah wasn't a one-man show, and that he challenged other people to also get involved in building the wall and the gates. That's what we need to do. We need to challenge the people in our church to be involved in put up the barriers and guard the gates. Amen? That's what we need to do. And not just one person doing it, we need to all do it. We need to all do it. Ask the Lord to help you to be vigilant, sober and alert to the enemy who would come in here and try to make us pull down our wall and build a bridge. Verses 19 and 20 reveal that Nehemiah had a strong character. He was a strong-willed person who was able to tolerate his enemies mocking him. Hey, water off a duck's back. Don't worry about people mocking you and persecution. I've never been persecuted yet. They threaten me with murder out here. AOG, God's going to kill me. Wow. God's not going to kill me for standing up for him. I read his word. We said, blessed are you when they persecute you and speak evil about you for my name's sake. That's what he told me when they were threatening me. Don't worry about that, Huey. So we don't. He was a strong-willed person who was able to tolerate his enemy mocking him and laughing him to scorn. But it wasn't because of his will or his character that he did not quit the Lord's work, but because he trusted in God as his source of strength and help. Chapter 4, verses 1 through to 18 teach us that although Nehemiah's enemies continued to harass and threaten him and his team of wall builders, they recognized the need of both prayer and watchfulness as they continued the building work. Even though there was the inconvenience of having a weapon in one hand and building tool in the other. We need to have our weapon of warfare in our hand ready. What are we talking about? The voice of God's word. We need to be able to hear it. Have the weapon ready. Verses 20 to 23 show that although it required long hours of work, Nehemiah and his men were not discouraged because they were convinced that God would fight for them. In Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, the enemies of God's people tried a new tactic. Couldn't get them by being cursing them and mocking them and being violent to them. They proposed a conference to discuss possible reconciliation. But Nehemiah's consistent refusal to fall into the enemy's trap is a scriptural example of how we should respond to similar invitations of fellowship being extended from enemies of the gospel today. Resist the temptation. This Cairns Christian Ministers Network, they tried to get Pastor Dan, they tried to get Pastor James to come and join with them. And even mock them because they wouldn't come, you see. You're not wanting the city of Cairns to prosper with God's help, you see. You're standing against that. No, we're not. We're not doing that. You are. By consorting with different religions, ecumenism. God's not for that. So we stand against all that stuff, you see. So they tried a new tactic. And they wanted them to come and have fellowship with them. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 18 demonstrates the necessity of reading and hearing the word of God preached. And the response, hey, reading and hearing the word of God preached. You need to read it yourself and you need to hear it preached. Sit under good preaching, all right? And the response it creates in the hearts of God's people, sorrow for sin, rejoicing in God's promises, and obedience to God's instructions. Chapter 12, verses 43 to 47 relate the enjoyment and satisfaction that comes to the obedient people of God. But the concluding chapter 13 tells the sad story of what happens when the professing people of God compromise their walk with him, and it reveals the continual necessity for watchfulness and the immediate, robust remedial action that is necessary to preserve a pure, faithful testimony to God and for God. So we've seen a couple of things recently. We've seen people that we've been in fellowship with and friendly with compromise. And they're sour on us because we won't join with them. You know why? You know why they're sour? I'll tell you why. Because they want us to lose our conviction. The best way to get if you're doing something wrong yourself, and you've got a person who's a strong Christian comes in the room, and you're professed to be a Christian yourself, you feel bad, eh? They caught you swearing or having a drink or something like that. The way to get rid of that conviction from that godly person is to get them to do the same thing, you see. Get them to do it. So, let's have some ecumenical association with some of the AOG people. Alright? You know what I mean? It takes the conviction of our life off them. That's why they want us to join with them and do the things they're doing. So there's a sad story of what happens when professing people of God compromise their walk with Him. And I say it's horrible sad what we're seeing going on in some of these churches. Is that a sad thing, or are we all happy about it? That's sad. But those nice, gentle, soft people have a dangerous thing about them where they're so soft they let the enemy get to them. We need some hard people. The prophets weren't soft. They were hard. And today they don't want prophetic people in leadership in churches because they drive the wicked out. And they cause the people that are getting into mischief to have to change their tune. Although material walls of the kind Nehemiah and his co-workers built are no longer constructed, there is a greater need today than ever before to recognise the absolute necessity of building, maintaining and repairing all God-ordained spiritual walls. This is not easy to do in the day when the foolish cry of the world heard in most churches is, we need to tear down the walls that separate us and build bridges to other people. Hey, the CCM people are full of that. That's the danger too of CCM. Their message in their songs is about tearing down walls. Go and have a look at the titles of most of their songs. It's about tearing down walls and building bridges. And where they're building the bridges to is to the Roman Catholic One World Church at the end time. Revelations 17 and 18. All kinds of false accusations are being made against wall builders today, just as they were in the days of Nehemiah. Misled by false teachers and disobedient brethren, the spiritual walls that God knows His people need for their safety are being called outdated, and His obedient wall builders are being mockingly accused as selfish, of being unloving, full of pride, and of being arrogant isolationists rather than biblical separatists. Let's be careful, however, that none of those who do love the Lord and who desire to obey His word, let us be certain that none of us, none of these accusations made against us are true. Make sure that they can't accuse us of those things. They can accuse us of them, but let's make sure they're not true about us. They won't have a leg to stand on when we stand before God. Our service for the Lord will be fruitful and a blessing to all if we are fully yielded, desiring no personal gain or glory, and purposing by God's grace never to quit, just because we are in the minority, little crowd. Many of the people who are seeking to demolish biblical walls have been influenced by other people who falsely claim that Christians who are happy to live within the safety of the spiritual walls God has provided are really prisoners who need to be set free. People see us as in bondage, you see. Unable to recognise that the walls that God provides for His faithful followers are for their protection, they see them as some form of bondage that we need to be liberated from. We are not under law, but under grace, is the usual argument. They use that one. We're not under law, we're under grace. We can do these things. We can join with other people. God's not bothered about that. Christians of every age and situation need to be aware that many spiritual tragedies are being experienced by those who have surrendered to the appealing message of unity, free from the constraining walls, being drawn away from the authority of parents, away from the ministry of faithful pastors and uncompromising churches. They seek to escape from scriptural guidance and correction in the false notion that having rejected God's walls, they can at last be free to do whatever they want, whenever they want to. But Nehemiah chapter 6 verses 1 to 4 also reminds us of the enemy's tactics when false teachers and false brethren can't get you to abandon your faithful stand for the Lord and His truth and entice you to come out from within the safety of God's walls. They'll try to do that, get you to come out. They will attempt to convince us that they are really our friends, and they will want us to invite them to come in and join us within the walls. Ah, that's a tactic too, you see. If they can't get us to come and join them outside the walls of safety, then maybe they can trick us into allowing them to come in and join with us inside here. Be careful. But as I pointed out at the beginning of this short study, Nehemiah's consistent refusal to fall into the enemy's trap of invitation is the scriptural example of how we should respond to similar subtle tactics being used today by enemies of the gospel. Jude verse 4 reminds us that people who deny God and our Lord Jesus Christ will creep into the churches by stealth. Creep in, alright? And Acts 20 and verse 30 also warns us that from among our own selves shall deceivers arise, speaking perverse things or false doctrines to draw away disciples to themselves, who they then lead outside the walls of protection and safety. Today God is looking for people who are not intimidated by the mocking and scorn coming from the apostates. We have to stand strong, my friends. We can get doubtful. People, I'm not going to get doubtful. I know what the Lord's called us to, alright? To be obedient to Him. I don't know what He's called us to go through up ahead, but I know what He's called us to do. Be faithful to Him. So we need to be careful. God's looking for people who are not intimidated by the mocking and scorn from the apostates. He's looking for people who are vigilant, sober and alert. He's not looking for bridge builders who will surrender to the call of those outside the walls to come across to them. Neither is He looking for bridge builders who will call those from the outside to come and join with us inside. All right? He's not looking for those sort of bridge builders. He's looking for wall builders who, like Nehemiah, are prepared to separate from those who have capitulated to compromise and error, so that we too won't become contaminated with their deadly diseases. Amen? That's what we've got to do. Don't tear down the walls. Don't build bridges. Keep the walls intact. And there's a scripture in Jeremiah. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Proclaim the word of God from the gate of the Lord's house and protect the Lord's house and protect the people. Amen? Let's pray and close the service.